Hey ladies, today we have an episode for you on ovulation, which is really the crowning jewel of the menstrual cycle and the thing that your body is working toward with every single hormonal interaction when it comes to fertility and optimizing your hormone health. So we're going to talk though about what happens when ovulation is not quote unquote normal and why some of you are feeling really crappy around ovulation versus feeling that like, I'm a wonderful fertile woman and my libido is sky high and my hair is bouncing and my skin is glowing and all the things that we hear should be happening for us around ovulation, but we're not feeling that. You're feeling instead some brain fog, some fatigue, some maybe body ache, some sinus symptoms sometimes, ovulation pain, ovulation breakouts, ovulation mood swings, all the things that are like kind of the worst when it comes to hormone symptoms. And those can happen for several reasons. We're going to dive into those today. And I hope that this will really help you understand and maybe feel a little bit less like you're, you know, this abnormal creature versus understand that sometimes this is happening when other hormones are imbalanced and you're definitely not the only one. And it doesn't mean that something is fundamentally wrong with you, that you don't line up with other women's cycles. It just means that your body needs some extra support. So that is what we're going to dive into in this episode today. And I have a couple of announcements for you as well. So first one is I have a special bonus going on through the end of this week. So Monday, May 20th through Friday, May 24th, when you sign up for Nourish Your Hormones, which is my signature method, my signature program to balance your hormones, improve your energy, improve your periods, and get rid of PMS and some of these ovulation symptoms we're going to talk about today. When you sign up for that program, you are going to get a bonus, and it's a choose your own adventure bonus. You can either get a HTMA mineral test and a video review from me that I will send to you once I get that test result back, where I give you some overview of your test results and some personalized recommendations. That is bonus number one that you can choose. Or if you're not really in a place where you want to do testing or do hair testing specifically, you can choose to do a one-on-one call with me as your bonus. And that is a 45-minute one-on-one call where we will go through your history and help you really pinpoint which things you want to start with when it comes to balancing your hormones based on your personal history, your current symptoms. And I will point you to exactly what you need to focus on in the course, as well as give some personalization. So all you have to do is go to leishadrews.com/nourishyourhormones, enroll in Nourish Your Hormones, and send us a quick email that says, hey, this is the bonus I want. I want the HTMA test, or I want the one-on-one session. And that's all. That's it. You get it for free along with Nourish Your Hormones at full price. So that is good through Friday. This is for you if you just really want my eyes on your hormones, you want some personalization, and you know that this is the right place for you, I'm the right coach for you, and you're ready to make some action forward. You will get 6 months of access to Nourish Your Hormones with this offer, so you have all summer and all fall to work on this slowly but surely. And just imagine what that would be like if your hormones were happier this summer. You could be less irritable with your kids when they're home all summer. You could have more fun on family vacations. You could enjoy the sunshine, be less stressed. Like, this is the time to do that. And I also have just 2 coaching spots left for June and July if you want the upgraded full one-on-one experience, because I will be taking a little bit of a break with my kiddos as well. So those spots are very limited this summer. If that's for you, then reach out to us and we will get you the info for one-on-one and get you signed up. And without further ado, let's talk ovulation symptoms. Welcome to the Happily Hormonal Podcast. Now, if you're a little iffy on whether or not the word hormonal is a good one, then you are in the right place. If you would love to have lasting energy, balanced hormones, and better periods, and you find yourself spending all of your precious time after the kids go to bed researching what to eat, what supplements to take, how to exercise, and you feel overwhelmed by all the info out there, then I've got you. Emily Chaudhry is a registered nurse and functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, plus mama of three little ones, and I know that hormone balance doesn't have to be hard. I'll help you balance your hormones without perfection with simple steps that actually work for busy mamas so you can feel good inside and out and be present, joyful, and confident in the beautiful life you're already living. If you're in for happy hormones, taking messy action, and seeing results without perfection, then put your hair in that mom bun, grab your toddler the seventh snack of the day, and grab yourself a bone broth hot chocolate so we can do this. So I'm going to start out with what is going to be normal when it comes to ovulation and actually what's happening in your body with ovulation. I know I've talked about this in multiple episodes, so this is going to be quick, but I want you to understand this, especially if you're newer to the podcast and maybe haven't listened to some of those episodes on ovulation or newer to understanding what's going on in your cycle. So when we are getting close to ovulation, essentially what the hormone trigger cascade is that estrogen starts to rise as you get towards the end of your period. And as that estrogen rises, it triggers follicle stimulating hormone, which triggers the follicle that holds the eggs in your ovaries, triggers multiple follicles to mature. And one of those follicles will mature far enough, the egg will be matured far enough that it will burst through the follicle wall and ovulation will occur. And another hormone that is involved in that is the luteinizing hormone. And that is the hormone that actually triggers the ovulation to occur, that egg to burst through the follicle wall. And estrogen has to rise a certain amount for that to happen. So estrogen is rising in kind of like a quick, sharp peak right before ovulation. When it gets to the highest point where it needs to go, it will trigger that LH. And within about 24 hours, ovulation typically occurs if everything is working in the way that we want it to. So that is what is happening hormonally. And when we see that in a typical cycle, what we'll see is that cervical fluid will increase, fertility is high those days around ovulation, and typically mood will increase, creativity will increase, social energy will increase, and some women will even see improvements in like their skin or their hair or, you know, kind of like these outward physical signs of fertility, ovulation, health. And that is what we see as kind of the ideal, essentially, when it comes to ovulation. However, I have really talk to a lot of women who are not experiencing this, and they're experiencing symptoms that are negative around ovulation. And I mentioned these in the intro a little bit, but having things like brain fog or pain or moodiness or breakouts, like those type of things around ovulation, are not normal symptoms, and they are your body telling you what it needs, essentially, and telling you that something is off. So when we're tracking ovulation, so that if you're like, oh, interesting, like I'm seeing some symptoms in the other part of my cycle when it's not my period, but I hadn't really pinpointed whether or not it's ovulation, this is the simplest way to track. I'm going to link an episode in the show notes, more specifically how you can track ovulation. And you can go back to that one if you are not super familiar, but essentially you'll be watching for increased cervical fluid in the days leading up to ovulation, typically 3 to 5 days of increased cervical fluid. And then that fluid will typically dry up kind of abruptly within about 12 to 24 hours of ovulation happening. And you'll notice you went from pretty like intense, high quality cervical fluid that has a lot of water content, might be egg white in texture, to it's pretty much gone. And so you'll know typically that that is a sign that ovulation has occurred. I also really like basal body temperatures, because then you can actually confirm ovulation and see that your temperature has increased and progesterone has taken over, because especially in PCOS, sometimes we'll see those patches of cervical fluid and it'll dry up, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you've ovulated. It just means that you've attempted ovulation, because estrogen is what is driving that increased cervical fluid. With that being said, in most cases, with outside of PCOS especially, and pretty regular cycles, when you see that patch of cervical fluid 3 to 5 days and then it dries up, that is a pretty clear indicator of ovulation. And I do, like I said, I love the temperatures to back up that data. But if you have a pretty regular cycle, you may not need that to be able to determine that you're ovulating. Now, with that being said, when you notice symptoms around that part of your cycle that is not what you would expect, you're not feeling good, there are multiple causes of that. And we're going to start with talking about some of the symptoms of pain and what that can be caused by. There are several different ways that you can have pain around ovulation, and they can mean different things. So just kind of like typical run-of-the-mill ovulation discomfort is one thing that can kind of be a sign of some hormone imbalance, but it doesn't always have to be. I would say if you're having consistent ovulation pain, it's not something that I would consider ideal, and it probably is something that needs a little bit of support. But if that's your only symptom in your whole cycle, maybe it's not really priority to be super diving into that, but it can be kind of a warning sign. So ovulation pain, there's a scientific term for it or a medical term. They call it middle schmerz, which is like middle of the cycle pain. And a lot of people will tell you this is absolutely normal. It's great. You should have it. It's super fun and you want it. With that being said, I am kind of being sarcastic there, obviously, but when we're looking at this from a more holistic view, I do think that it is a little bit of a sign of inflammation, but not so much a big red flag. But what that comes from is that follicular cyst, essentially. And cyst is just, I'm using that term because that is what it is, but it's not a bad cyst or like a painful ovarian cyst. It's just the external shell of the follicle. And that is swelling in a normal cycle, and it's going to rupture in a normal cycle to release that egg. So there can be a little bit of inflammation with that. There can be a little bit of bleeding. There can be a little bit of fluid released from that follicle as well. And that can be irritating to the tissues around it. And then when that ovulation has occurred, the fallopian tube, which is where your ovary releases the egg into, and it just travels down that tube to the uterus, that fallopian tube is going to be contracting to help that egg get down to the uterus or get down further in the fallopian tubes to reach any awaiting sperm that might be there for fertilization. So there can be some irritation, a little bit of cramping with that. What I would consider kind of normal is going to be maybe like a little bit of aching, a little bit of dull pain, or even like a couple little sharp pains that last for a couple minutes to a few hours. They don't interfere with your daily activity. That is typical, I'm using air quotes here, ovulation pain, and doesn't necessarily really lead to other symptoms or isn't necessarily a sign of issues. But I would kind of argue, I guess, that it could be a sign of estrogen dominance and it could be something that you want to work on before it leads to other symptoms down the road. So we'll talk about that as we continue. But that is what I would consider kind of normal and not something that you need to necessarily, look for a diagnosis for. Now, other pain can be more severe. So ovarian cysts that are not just the follicle rupturing, those can be more severe and those can be very painful. You can have super severe pain from that. You can pass out. You can have nausea. There can be a lot of pain with ovarian cysts. Those can be kind of like an out of the blue, once in a lifetime kind of things, or they can be recurring, especially in PCOS. Typically, they're not going to be as big of cysts. They're going to be smaller cysts, which is just kind of the follicles not fully maturing and not fully being absorbed, and just kind of like this attempted missed ovulation kind of follicle that we'll see sometimes. But you can have a bigger ovarian cyst that would really cause symptoms. And sometimes those symptoms will show up during ovulation because it is a higher estrogen time in your cycle and hormones are shifting drastically. So if you have severe pain, ovarian cysts can be something to look into. You can see those on ultrasound. Endometriosis is also something that can cause more severe pain around ovulation. And if you're not familiar with endometriosis, it's essentially tissues that are similar to the uterine lining will grow outside of the uterus. And that can be in your abdomen, pelvis. I've seen it higher up in the abdomen as well. It can really grow, all throughout abdomen and pelvis, unfortunately. And those tissues are very sensitive to hormones because they are essentially hormone tissue that should be within your uterus only. And so those respond to hormones during the cycle. It can cause bleeding, inflammation outside the uterus that can be extremely painful and is typically something that can still be improved, but there's going to be, multiple layers of things that we need to look at to reduce the inflammation, to reduce the estrogen, iron imbalances, those type of things. So endometriosis can be a reason for severe pain during ovulation. And then another couple of things that I wanted to mention just to help you know, like, what is truly normal and what's not, and what would you need to seek medical help for. Now, if you have pain anytime in your cycle, really, but especially ovulation or during your period, or, you know, pain that is kind of like lasting outside of those windows, that is accompanied by discharge that is smelly. Yes, here we go. We're talking about smelly discharge. Fever, body aches, burning with urination. Those are signs of infection. So that would be something to go get checked out, whether it's a UTI, sexually transmitted illness, any of those type of infections that are more pelvic infections, even like bacterial vaginosis or a yeast infection. Any of those are something that need to be paid attention to. There are natural treatments as well as medical treatments, depending on the severity. But if you're having pain that is accompanied with discharge or fever or body aches or things like that, that's not something to just ignore and think like, oh, this is just because I'm ovulating. And then the last one that I want to talk about is if you have one-sided pelvic pain that is severe, that can be related to a cyst, but it can also be related to ectopic pregnancy. And with ectopic pregnancy, it would typically increase, the pain would increase. There would be other physical symptoms as well. Typically it would be nausea, dizziness, like potentially even fever can be related to ectopic pregnancy. Not typically, but sometimes we'll see that. But the pain would just continue to get worse. It would be very severe pain in one side of your abdomen. And of course, this would be accompanied by a positive pregnancy test. So if you maybe had like a weird period that was just like a tiny bit light, but didn't, you know you were pregnant potentially, and it was around ovulation time, you could be in that kind of 6 to 8 week pregnant window that typically ectopic pregnancies are discovered. And so that is going to be pretty rare, would be accompanied by a positive pregnancy test, is not something that's going to just typically cause ovulation pain. But I want to talk about it because I think that it's really important to know what those symptoms are, because that is truly a medical emergency and you could lose, you know, an ovary. It can cause really severe symptoms and severe consequences if it's not taken care of quickly. And so those are kind of the pelvic pain, ovulation pain pictures that I want you to be aware of. And when we are talking about this, most of you are going to fall in that category of like kind of the typical ovulation pain symptoms. And now you know that you're in that category. So that was what I wanted to make sure we covered. Now, other symptoms around ovulation that we would consider to be negative have multiple different factors that are involved. But the biggest one that I see over and over again, and interestingly enough, I'm seeing this a lot more lately. And as I was doing some research for this episode, I found that COVID could have some impact on this. So one of the big triggers for abnormal ovulation symptoms is a histamine intolerance, whether that is a minor histamine intolerance or something as severe as mast cell activation syndrome, which we'll kind of get into a little bit more. But I have an episode 114, that is a histamine deep dive. And I want you to go back and listen to that if you listen to some of this episode and feel that histamines may be an issue for you and you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to it because I cover a lot of this histamine intolerance in much more depth. But essentially, histamine is a normal immune response in the body. We need it to keep our bodies safe. And when your body is overreacting because there are underlying triggers for histamine or your body is not tolerating histamine well, that is where we can show up with symptoms in the ovulatory window. And the reason for that is histamine and estrogen are synergistic. And histamine is upregulated by estrogen via mast cell activation. So histamine will trigger these mast cells, which are kind of inflammatory cells, absolutely needed in a typical allergic response, but we don't need them to be triggered all the time or triggered multiple times per month. And then estrogen also downregulates the DAO enzyme, and the DAO enzyme clears out histamine. So if estrogen is increasing mast cells and decreasing DAO, that can really make symptoms of histamine intolerance worse around ovulation, but also right before your period, because that is another peak of estrogen, a little bit lower than the time, than the peak that happens before ovulation. So if histamine is an issue for you. First of all, how do you know? Well, you're going to see symptoms like brain fog. Sometimes I've had clients who have seen even like nasal allergy type symptoms come up more around ovulation. It can be ovulation pain. It can be just general inflammation in the body. If you feel really inflamed or even have mood changes around ovulation, histamine can be playing a role. Now, antihistamines are the typical answer for histamine issues, but again, this is like putting birth control band-aid on an estrogen imbalance. If we're just taking an antihistamine and not looking at the underlying cause, we're essentially missing the whole picture. We're just, you know, missing the forest for the trees, essentially, because we're just looking at like, oh, there's histamine. I need to block this histamine when there's so much more to the picture. So why is histamine elevated? In general, what would be a reason for that? Well, the liver and the gut are both going to be big players in histamine tolerance and intolerance. And one of the things that I see the most often is that when there is a lot of bacterial overgrowth and or parasites in the gut, that can cause a lot of inflammation and can cause a bigger histamine response. And if there is poor liver detoxification or poor methylation in the liver, both of those things can trigger histamine as well. And coincidentally, probably not coincidentally, honestly, this comes from the same place. Estrogen dominance is also caused by poor liver detoxification and gut imbalances and inflammation in the gut. Those are some of the causes of estrogen imbalance. So this is coming essentially from the same place typically. And then, as I mentioned a second ago, long COVID can actually lead to the development of mast cell activation syndrome or histamine intolerance. Those are kind of can be similar things, but two different levels. And so if you have had COVID or long COVID, sometimes we're seeing a lot more histamine symptoms. I have personally been seeing a lot more histamine issues after COVID in the last couple of years. So this is something that maybe could have triggered it. That viral load from COVID could have triggered histamine intolerance and could be triggering these symptoms around ovulation. So I'm going to give you a couple of things that you can do. And I want to just point out too, this is a perfect fit when you're having symptoms that could be related to the gut, to the liver, to histamines and hormones. This is a perfect fit for one-on-one coaching because we can do the in-depth lab testing that we need to do, like the GI map gut test, where we can look at your bacterial load, good and bad. We can test for parasites. We can look at inflammation in the gut lining. We can look at the liver function. All of this is in that test. And we can also do additional testing if needed to test your mineral status, to test hormones, and we can really dive into your personal triggers, whether that's food, environment, gut issues, and start to clear out some of those underlying inflammatory triggers for your body. That is truly going to be the best fit when we have these kind of like more complex hormone issues, because there's just going to be more ability to essentially put my eyes on all the things for you. And so this type of picture is really a perfect fit for one-on-one coaching. And so if that's something that you would like information about, the link in the show notes gives you access to all of my packages. You can see what they are, see if it's a good fit for you. And you can also schedule a call so we can talk and personalize a plan for you there. Some things to start with, though, until you are ready to dive in at a deeper level, are to understand which foods are either high in histamines or will release histamines. This is something you can Google. I'm just going to mention a couple of them, so realize this is not an exhaustive list, but some of the foods that you may want to avoid as estrogen is rising if you're really struggling with these symptoms. So especially that like second week of your cycle, say day 7 through 14, 15, something like that. If you're kind of having like a pretty typical 28-day cycle, you definitely will want to avoid alcohol. That is going to block DAO and also increase histamine in the body, and it can be have histamine in and of itself. Things that are pickled or fermented, like kimchi, sauerkraut, really fermented foods, even kombucha, those can be higher in histamine and they can raise histamine in the body, cured or smoked meats. And then even things like bone broth and vinegar that are good for your body in general, if they are not tolerated well by you right now, you may do better avoiding those in higher estrogen, higher histamine times. And this is, again, this is not going to fix the problem, but it could help mitigate symptoms while you are working on the underlying problem, hopefully working through gut testing, working through really, you know, working on your gut and working on liver detoxification and just kind of like minimizing a lot of those triggers. And there are a couple of foods that actually block DAO as well that I wanted to mention. And those are going to be energy drinks, alcohol. I've already mentioned those, but also black tea, green tea, and mate tea. And those are, you know, again, things that we could consider to be healthy, but they could be blocking DAO. And if you're having issues with this, then that's probably not something you want to do right now. A couple of vitamins and minerals that help with histamines as well. Again, this is going to be best if it's personalized, but vitamin B6, a methylated form of that or a bioavailable form. Vitamin C, I only recommend whole food vitamin C, so acerola cherry, camu camu, something like that. And those things can actually help support antioxidation in the body and support those detox pathways. And foods that are high in zinc that are not high in histamine, I would highly recommend, as well as foods that are going to be high in bioavailable copper. Those are things that you can look up. And then a couple of foods that can help with symptoms in the moment are fresh ginger. You can do that. You can, you know, steep that as a tea or a tincture. I sometimes, if I feel inflamed, I will just like cut up a ginger root and like swallow little pieces throughout the day, almost like as a supplement. You can juice it. That's pretty strong, but it can be really good. Apples are a food that can also help with kind of like mitigating symptoms a little bit. And then vitamin C as well. And you could take like multiple doses of vitamin C during the day to help lower histamine when you're experiencing a reaction. Another thing that I cannot not talk about is if you are constipated in this phase of your cycle or always, this is going to be a problem for histamine. So you need to make sure that your body is releasing everything that it's taking in, that you're having regular, good, smooth bowel movements, because that's going to back you up and cause issues no matter what, essentially. So you're not going to be detoxing estrogen well. You're not going to be releasing these histamines in your body. You're just going to be holding on to all of it. And so making sure that you are not constipated is high priority when it comes to hormone imbalance as well as histamine imbalance. And then the last thing that I want to just quickly mention, I've kind of like mentioned it as we've gone through the episode, but feeling, you know, not yourself, not how you want to feel around ovulation. I've talked a lot about histamines, but we can't overlook the elephant in the room, essentially, that if your estrogen is just out of control and it's triggering histamines because it's out of control, we've got to focus on estrogen. So this is not a, you know, we just focus on histamines, we just focus on estrogen. It's got to be the whole picture. But if you have estrogen dominance, and this could show up as symptoms in the second half of your cycle as well, not just around ovulation, then that is something we've got to address. We've got to address, like, why is estrogen dominant? Are there things coming into your body that don't need to be coming in? Is there an issue with stress in your body not creating progesterone, not ovulating? Is it a gut issue? Is it a liver issue? Again, these are big picture questions that we can work through when you are in Nourish Your Hormones, because that is the step-by-step method that I have created to help your body make hormones well and detox hormones well, which are the two components that are going to really knock out estrogen dominance over time. And I think that sometimes we really overcomplicate this so much more than we need to, because we're not being consistent with getting the nutrients in that help you make and detox hormones, but we're, you know, looking for all of these fixes, all of these answers, food sensitivity testing, million supplements. And those things are not going to work if the basics are not in place. So I just want to, again, drive that home. I've seen that over and over and over again. And sometimes we're overcomplicating, working ourselves into the ground and feeling really discouraged, but we're not doing the basics. And so that is why that is what we start with in Nourish Your Hormones. And then we get as fancy as you need to get to feel better. But a lot of times, You don't need to get that fancy. So I just want to remind you, encourage you, invite you into Nourish Your Hormones. When you are ready, that is going to be a step that is going to truly make a huge difference. The women in the community are seeing wins all the time, and you have them and you have me for support throughout this journey. So come join us in Nourish Your Hormones. I would love to see you in there. And don't forget the bonuses that we have for you through May 24th, where you can get some additional one-on-one support truly for free when you sign up for the full priced course. So I cannot wait to see you in there. We will have another episode for you on Thursday, and I will see you then. Any information shared on this podcast is solely for educational purposes, is not to be taken as medical advice or to be used as a diagnosis or a treatment plan for any medical condition. I'm sharing my educated opinions and experience, but nothing shared here can be taken on a one-size-fits-all basis. We always recommend that you do your own research, talk to your own doctors, and take full informed responsibility for any health and medical choices that you make. Hey, thanks so much for hanging out with me today. If you had as much fun with this episode as I did, make sure to share it with one or three of your besties and leave a rating and review so that more and more women can find this podcast and have happy hormones. And when you're ready to have pain-free periods, no more PMS, and energy and capacity to live the life you really want to live, then it's time to join us in Nourish Your Hormones. I can't wait to see you in there and help you have balanced hormones all month long. See you next time.